The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Colombia.
It's that time of the week again, folks. It's me, your host, Richard McCall, here in Cartagena, Colombia. So as you can tell, those of you who have been listening to the show over the last couple of weeks, I've been on the road. So it's almost like a Columbia Calling road show. This is episode 191 from the road. Yes, I've been accompanying a group from Ace Travel across Colombia. I'm sort of the enrichment guide, which means they have me on board to talk and make conversation about Colombia. And I think some of you will agree that this is something that I can do, that I'm appropriately, qualified to do so. So episode 191, another brief one from the road. And we're following on really from episode 190. And we'll talk a little bit about the Bogota bombing and what has come forward, what has been presented in terms of fact and what is fiction regarding this terrible event which took place two Saturdays ago now, which left three people, the loss of lives of three people and many others injured. And of course, terrible, terrible thing to have happened in such a wonderful, let's say, family-oriented place. People, couples, families enjoying their day out. After the Bogota bombing, we'll be talking a little bit about this tour. I think I want to talk a little bit about what I'm doing and where I've been and what I've seen and how things may have changed since the last time I did this. And I'll finish off with a little few reflections on the 2018 elections. And not only that, but also the, lots of people ask me, and particularly so here in this, living here, is how do I end up living here? Or how do I cope living here in Colombia? And I think this segment might even appeal to some of those who've made their lives here, because it's an incredibly interesting situation. So without further ado, let's start episode 191, talking about a bit about the Bogota bombing. And well, I think I just start by saying that the government obviously has been incredibly thorough in trying to pursue and follow leads, tips, and so on, and pursue the perpetrators of such a heinous crime, which left people, you know, people without lives, families broken, and so on. But there has been so little information in the last, let's say, 10 days, that this has allowed a fair amount of conspiracy theories to rise. And the unfortunate truth is that they are often to the detriment and of the people who may have lost their lives. For instance, the young French girl, Julie, who seems to be more of an altruistic soul, really just trying to make a difference in her young 23 years. So this time, the Movimiento del Revolucionario Popular, as the MRP, is being signaled as the intellectual authors of this crime. And eight people have been arrested in Bogota and in the nearby department of Tolima. They're supposedly connected some way to the urban network of the ELN guerrilla group, the ELN, the National Liberation Army, who are involved in peace talks in Ecuador at the moment with the Colombian government. And of course, those of you who've been following the news will know that the ELN were also responsible this last week for kidnapping two Dutch journalists doing, well, that's a show that reunites, adopted, or in, let's say investigates the sources of the adoptions of Dutch children, you know, perhaps from Colombia. And they are very famous journalists, and they were up in El Tarra, Norte Santander, so actually in an ELN stronghold. And they were kidnapped for a couple of days. They were investigating and researching the beginnings, or where this young girl brought up in Holland came from originally. And, well, it should make for an excellent show. Anyway, I'm happy to say that two journalistic colleagues have been released. So the ELN are much in the news at the moment because, of course, they are supposed to be connected through the urban links to the Movimiento Revolucionario Popular. The MRP has, of course, been involved in different bombs in other places, Café Salud and others. Indeed, they dropped a flag on the Carrera Séptima, very close to the headquarters of Bancolombia in Bogotá, and other things. There are supposedly links to them, alleged links, with their amongst their rank and file with the National University. This has yet to be proven, and the National University has, of course, spoken out against these links. Now, so this is what has been reported on a Sunday. Well, we remain to see what else will come forward from the investigations and who will be found guilty. You'll remember that a young lady who has links to the Ministry of Culture was captured some months ago for her links to ELN and the National University. But again, whether the connections are there or they're just hearsay or just very convenient remains to be seen. What is, of course, unfortunate, as I mentioned previously, is that the Colombian government delayed in their in providing information to the people. And in this day and age of immediate news and immediate desire for Twitter and social media, the conspiracy theories have been absolutely rife. Recently, I saw the photo of Tanya Niemeyer, who's the Dutch guerrilla, the FARC guerrillas, and people putting them up there, putting it on Facebook, saying, "This is the French girl." Well, let's start by quashing that straight away. That's Tanya Niemeyer. She's been in the FARC for several years now. Whether the French girl, Julie Hoyne, I think her name's pronounced, whether the French girl had any links to these subversive groups is not something proven, and we should not be speaking ill or even suspecting until the government and the authorities come forth with any news and any information. So let's quash that photo, the photo with Ivan Marquez and others. That's Tanya Niemeyer, who is in the FARC guerrillas and who is Dutch, not French. Also, there was fake news, I feel I'm very Trumpist in this one, but fake news that the French girl's mother, Julie's mother, was in fact linked to the Sendero Luminoso or Tupac Amaru in Peru and had links to the Nicaraguan Sandinistas and so on and so forth. This is all codswallop as well, because they are trying to link Lori Berenson to being Julie's mother. Lori Berenson is an American by birth, and who has spent many years in jail. She's out now and back in the US, but spent many years in jail in Peru for her links to the Sendero Luminoso, the Shining Path. She had a Peruvian son who would be around 15 or 16 years old. So let's quash that rumor. Most of the rumors propagated right now have been from the far right and ex-military. They have been spreading these rumors. Now, I think it's irresponsible, and of course, these are possible spoilers. Now, what I have also read is that the bomb in the ladies' loo at the Andino shopping center was meant to go off at 5 a.m. and therefore not cause any loss of life. It went off at 5:10 p.m., so it did cause a loss of life, an absolute tragedy. So I think this should be investigated further. We call upon the government to make a robust investigation into the causes and to find and capture and sentence the culprits for this. And, you know, don't make a mockery, as the Colombian justice system is often referred to. Do not make a mockery of the justice system. Really see this through. And so that will be my last comment on this matter for the time being. I abhor the fake news, the rumors, the hearsay that comes out. Let's, you know, let the authorities do their jobs and let's find the actual culprits. So let's leave that behind us. As I said at the beginning of this show, yes, I've been on tour. It's not my tour. I've been accompanying a tour as an enrichment guide. Yes, I'm talking. I'm talking for a living. And I'm up here in Cartagena, coming to the end of my tour. It's a tour with Ace Travel Group. We've gone from Bogota to Tunja in Boyacá, the capital. From Tunja, we pass through Guatavita and Guatavita on to Villa de Leyva. From Villa de Leyva, we went on to Barichara, visited Juane. And from Barichara, then we descended down to the Magdalena River at Barranca Bermeja, where my wife is from. Stayed a night in Barranca Bermeja and caught a boat all the way up to Mompox. Beautiful journey. Of course, Mompox, you know, being my forte, we were there for a couple of days before moving on to Cartagena. And we've been here in Cartagena. This is the final day before returning again to Bogota. So a good colonial route for those who are interested. And things that have surged, let's say, on my trip is how much hotels, decent mid-range hotels, have increased in cost. This is amazing. And service, indeed, has improved across the board in Colombia, I would say, from when I first started out in the industry. So it's very positive to see that the service industry, obviously, while not as good as in tourist areas of Peru or Mexico, but there is a definite improvement. And of course, there are more tourists. Although here in Cartagena, sometimes I've had difficulty walking down the streets for the amount of tourists. It seems like we're just on the upturn from a low season into June's high season, July, so on and so forth. So I've been slumming it here in the Santa Clara Hotel, very nice hotel, as all of you know who know the Santa Clara, in Cartagena, and touring it with my group. I'm also amazed at the amount of new restaurants and boutiques and free tours. I don't know where I stand on free tours around Cartagena, because I know that they're being offered in Bogota too, and indeed I have been invited to go on a couple of free tours. Are these people licensed guides? Do they pay taxes on the tips they get? I suppose not, because they are gratuities. And are they taking money away from the actual professional guide? So I wonder, and it's got to be tough. It's got to be a very difficult situation for the Colombian tourist authorities to police. But it seems that things are advancing. While Cartagena at times may be a victim of its own success, you know, 40 odd years of being a tourist destination, prices are higher, but then there are direct flights from cities all over the world, and of course from New York and indeed Fort Lauderdale to come down here. So of course it's going to benefit from a different amount of tourism and therefore a different dynamic of tourism. It's sometimes worrying to see, and other times it's refreshing. But if we can tap into this huge market that comes to Cartagena and spread them out a little bit more amongst the country, amongst the departments and other different sites, then, you know, this is a good thing. I mean, we have to think of Cartagena. Hopefully some of the money that arrives to the old city and to some extent Boca Grande does filter down into the more needy areas. So you'll remember, of course, that I've interviewed Barbara Smalley on this show, who runs a rental company, which you can find the website of, Cartagena Holiday Rentals, I think it is. And of course, I've interviewed Natalie Reitman, the Dutch lady who started her own school in La Boquilla, a very depressed area, Afro-Caribbean area here in Cartagena. So it's important that we remember that it's not just the playground of the rich and famous up here in the walled city and down into Boca Grande and Laguito, Castillo Grande, and all of those areas. Manga, of course, too. You know, remember that there's something beyond these walls, and there are a lot of needy people out there. So I've been finishing up this tour. We'll be back in Bogota, visiting a few more things before I see my guests on their flight back to the UK, the US, and beyond. And which brings me to my final point, and it's something perhaps I haven't addressed on Columbia Calling, and it's that of people will often ask me, especially when I'm accompanying or giving a dinner or something, so how do you live in Colombia? How do you find it? And I say always, and especially Colombians ask this, I think they're quite proud that I should have been here 10 years. And they always say, how do you find it? I mean, it's wonderful. Buen vividero todo. And I say, I do love it. But I always say the same thing. It's voy por picos y bajos. So I go through peaks and troughs. And that's a day-to-day basis. There'll be days where I wake up and I say, wow, well, what an amazing country. Things are going the right way. I'm so happy to be here. I've worked honestly and diligently, and Colombia has provided, and I hope that I'm making a difference. And that those are the days that you want to meet me, because I'm on an absolute high. And then, of course, there are those bajos, and those usually the lows, the troughs, usually take place when I have to do some sort of bureaucracy, or if I feel unjustly treated, or I'm paying a bribe that shouldn't have to be paying, or something like that. And there was another day, because I'm very interested, of course, and those of you who listen to the show will know that I'm very interested in the politics of Colombia. And of course, 2018, we have the presidential elections. By early December in 2017, we should know, and it should, the race should be clear. Ordóñez, Pastrana with Uribe backing conservative-sided things. Ordóñez on his own private running independently, with an evangelical minister as vice president. Then there'll be the Santista candidate. We can expect Vargas Lleras to be running. And of course, Fajardo, the former governor of Antioquia and mayor of Medellin. Claudia Lopez will be running. I mean, there's a number of people out there in the field, but don't forget there will be your wild cards coming in there too. So very interesting times, but of course I take a great interest in the political situation here. And there was a day I came back and unfortunately unloaded all of my political concerns on my wife Alba, who perhaps takes a different stance being Colombia towards the politics and maybe just shrugs it off. And I said, I'm so worried about Colombia. I'm so worried about the peace agreement. I'm so worried about how this is all going to work. I'm so worried about our son growing up here. And I say it all, but I think it's better to get it off my chest, no? Anyway, I say all of this, and then my wife, Alba, she looks at me and goes, but remember, Richard, when has Colombia been normal? When has it all been smooth running and roses? And maybe that's the attitude to take. Maybe that's the way I should look at these things. Take it a bit more lightheartedly. But I don't want to, I think. I think it's at the end, I don't want to. I want to strive for a better country with a greater equality. Maybe it won't happen in my lifetime. Probably it won't. But if we could just make a difference for a percentage of the country, surely this is moving in the right direction. Perhaps I'm talking naively again, like a great a well-wisher with no idea of what's going on. But surely we should be striving for something better, for more transparency in the politics and in the economics and finances here. Maybe, I forgot to say that, of course, Gustavo Petro, the leftist former mayor of Bogota, will of course run, as he will always, but he's not known beyond the city, so I doubt it will go very far. It'll be a protest vote if anyone does this. Anyway, as I said, it's an interesting time in Colombia. It's never a dull moment here at all. And of course, there'll be a source of work for me as a journalist, as always. With that said, I am doing an investigation at the moment on a book written by a former colonel in the Colombian army who has unveiled the levels of corruption within the military and some of the police when he was in command of several regiments or a battalion in Santander in the 1919 to 2000. So very interesting. The corruption is, of course, not related to the army being related to the FARC or anything, but to the paramilitaries. And he unveiled it and pretty much got rid of it in several areas. So I've read his book, I've gone through it, and now I shall be putting together a list of questions for Colonel Prieto so that hopefully I can write a piece for the mainstream press about some of the issues facing Colombia from the point of view of really quite an educated and well-studied man. And that's pretty much what I have to say and share with you today here for Colombia Calling, this episode 191. I've had a couple of emails from people out there offering to be interviewed. They sound very interesting, and indeed I will be pursuing these. And if you write me an email, that's ColumbiaCalling@gmail.com, I will respond. If you have something of offer that I think will be of benefit and of course interest to our listeners, that's the sort of thing I'm looking to. And equally so, I just love getting emails from those of you out there enjoying and listening to Colombia Calling, because that's what keeps me going. That's what keeps this show going. That's why I've invested in a new microphone. And that's why I can, you know, I think that I will continue to keep on producing a radio show, a little podcast to keep you informed on Colombia and tell some of the different stories through the lens, through the eyes of foreigners here in Colombia. I suppose I'm kind of going a bit more native, but I try to find interesting people and get their perspectives. So without further ado, I think I'll sign off for today and say thank you again for listening to this episode 191 here from Cartagena, Colombia, from the jewel on the Colombian Caribbean, from within the walled city and overlooking the pool from the Santa Clara Hotel. I'm Richard McCall, and this is Colombia Calling, signing off. Thank you for listening once again.